Coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, this is Monica, and welcome to the Home Health Occupational Therapy Explorer podcast as a creation from Till and Water. Are you a home health OT feeling a bit uninspired or overwhelmed or unresourced, but ready for change? Then stay tuned because we are dedicated to bringing you inspiration for possibility and nourishment of your home health OT mindset. So let's reinvent together starting here today and dig into this episode recorded in 2019. This archived yet priceless episode is part of a wrap-up from season 2, so please pardon and enjoy any dated references to the world pre-COVID. Welcome back and let's dig in.
I'm so excited to have today's special guest on with us, Sarah Lyon. Welcome to the podcast.
Monica, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
It is such a treat.
Yes.
And I do like to do like throwbacks or just backstories.
I was hoping that we would go there. I was hoping we would spend like all of our time there, actually.
So we can spend 90% of the time here.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. Partly kidding. And I do, it is with a tremendous amount of gratitude that I invite you onto the podcast, because as we kind of let's like merge our story and just like snowball this, because I mean, first there's Nebraska and there's a camp, shout out to Carol Joy Holling.
Yes.
That is a necessary part of our very early pre-OT days.
Like, yes.
What year was that, you think?
Would have been like 2005 or six.
2005.
And I want to break into our camp theme song right now, but I'm self-conscious about singing.
How does it start?
It starts with Carol Joy is the place that we're from.
Oh,
we're from.
That's right. Oh, man. Sarah, you've got such a good memory. Because you also went to, we're talking to Sarah Lyon of OT Potential. Amazing creator, human, and occupational therapist. And we'll be talking about some more things specifically pertaining to home health today. So Sarah and I go back to 2005, 2006. She has an excellent memory of this camp where we met. Because you had gone to this camp a couple times, is that correct?
Yes, I went as a camper, and then I was a camp counselor several more years than you were. So... songs are seared in my memory.
Yes, they are. And you, this is like your early years of leadership too. I mean, I feel like you were such a leader in that context, which included, I would also like to say for the listener who's not, you know, quite up to speed yet with us, that this children's camp was primarily outdoors, located in Nebraska and kind of a tucked away part of Nebraska. And part of one of the settings was a teepee village. And I just remember some like very special moments with you there where you were, I mean, that was not an easy summer. I think you had like, a lot of tough cases come through. And, you know, like there's one spot to go for air conditioning in a Nebraska summer. And it's typically only over your lunch period, which I don't even know if you had those because you were kind of the leader of this little teepee village. But I specifically remember at night when we do like devotions, I think you were reading and maybe the first person to introduce me to Mary Oliver.
Oh, that sounds very much in line with my college experience.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I guess it's like fast forward.
Well, I'll just jump in and give my version of that, which is at church camp, I met Monica and another camp counselor, Lindsay Miller, and they were in OT. Were you in OT school? You basically convinced me to be in OT that summer. And I was like, okay, sounds good.
Oh, man. Thank God for that. That was a grace moment for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
I think at that point I was on my way back in, or like, no, I had started because I remember, Which school was I at? I feel like I was in between maybe transitioning from Creighton to College of St. Mary at that point. Because that's how I met Lindsay. Or that's, I think, where she was still at College of St. Mary at the time. There's some overlap. Oh my gosh, this is such a throwback.
Yeah, loving it.
Yeah, and you've always, I feel like, had a, well, from my, you know, outside perspective, an interest in good writing, like good content, and stirring up thought-provoking conversations around things that matter.
Whoa, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now, like, kind of fast forwarding, we stayed in touch. And then we also, a couple years back, when you were launching OT Potential, I remember being in contact about just like writing. Like, I wanted to write, and you were interested in having content on the blog. And so I'm also super grateful for you for being so supportive of me as a writer. I feel like you were always just like so encouraging of that, and of being an interest in getting out just like quality content for the community, including on topics that maybe were in the gray area for our profession, or just like weren't being talked about yet. So you've developed, like, do you want to say a little bit about, will you just kind of give your description of OT Potential so people kind of get a little bit of background? It's also been years. How many years now?
Since 2000, I think 12 was when I launched my first blog post. So yeah, so to weave together with what Monica was saying, I learned about occupational therapy at camp with Monica. I ended up going to NYU, but then moved back to Nebraska, and was working in a small town hospital all alone, and just saw that there was a huge need for more OT content out there. And so I launched a blog kind of with the explicit intent of just like exploring that like market of what was out there and what OTs were looking for, and just created a lot of content over the first several years, just like basically learning what I was good at as far as creating stuff for OTs, and then also learning what OTs were looking for, and learning about running an online business. And through all of that, Monica, you were a blog post writer for me, and you also had one of my first popular downloads in my store, which was the Home Health OT Strategies and Insights.
Yes.
And yeah.
Thank you for being so instrumental in that process too, Sarah. You know, like just in believing in it, and being so supportive too of putting it in a place and a format that could be sustainable and just easily available to the people who really needed it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite thing, is finding something that the world needs, and when it matches like a passion of something that you want to give. So that's a pretty cool opportunity to be involved in something like that.
This is where we dedicate a moment in the podcast to support creating a diverse, equitable, and inclusive world, starting within our own lives. We understand that this is a journey and a commitment, not a one-time act. A super helpful resource and community can be found at COTAD, which stands for Coalition of Occupational Therapy Advocates for Diversity. This is a statement from their website. COTAD believes in action-oriented organizing to hold our profession accountable for creating a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive society. We are calling all members of the OT community to join us in sparking dialogue and igniting change to promote occupational justice. So we hope you check out their info in the show notes and stay strong in your continued work in these areas.
I mean, there are many reasons why I wanted to invite you on this podcast, and your passion for doing just that is also a part of that, because you've now, so not only do you have blog posts, not only do you have some online products, including a couple of things for home health OTs on there.
Yes.
Including the ebook and some other downloadables that you can check out. Sarah's the OT Potential, right? OTpotential.com.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also most recently launched the OT Potential Club. And I think what you've done with this is just really like ahead of your time, which I think you perhaps have been all along. So I'll give like a layman's description of the OT Club, and then
yeah, that sounds great.
I would love to hear just also the story of like how this came to be, because as a user of the OT Potential Club, which is a membership based like research club, I have access to some of the top research that Sarah kind of pre-weeds. I feel like you more or less kind of like you take these really what I consider high level research articles and you make them digestible. Whereas otherwise I would probably not be seeking out knowing where to access or even reading this content mm-hmm. because of how much time it can take. And so you helped me do that, and you deliver the like snippets or the like backbone of it to my inbox once a week so that I can just go like click the link, read kind of the snapshots and the full article if I want. And mm-hmm. then if I'm accessing it through my inbox, I have the opportunity to be part of an online community where we're chomping it and like spitting it back to each other for more ideas to like dig a little deeper, or you can listen to Sarah's podcast version and hear it.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
No. And I loved how you said chomping it and spitting it back to each other. I'm going to use that in my marketing.
Oh my gosh. Because, well, so let's talk a little bit about like, how did you come to this place of doing this?
Yeah, I think that, well, from a couple places. The first was just when I started practicing, I always felt very confident as a student, mm-hmm. And knowing what was expected of me as a student and that I could deliver on that. And then I started practicing, which is obviously way more complex than just being a student. But for me, there was this like worry, underlying guilt about whether mm-hmm. I was providing the best care. Mm-hmm. And I just like paid attention to that, I guess, in myself. And then as I started the blog, I just got the sense that other OTs were also worrying about that. Yeah. I saw that happening in discussion groups.
Yeah.
And almost coming back to just like that core place of confidence, of being like, is what we're delivering valuable? And as, so kind of the second part of that is, as I was blogging, I really saw that lots of people were talking, about different practice areas and more in the like tips and tricks kind of mm-hmm. areas, which is really great and really needed. Yeah. But no one was tackling the research component that was like missing in the blogging world.
Yeah.
And that was something that I was personally really interested in. But just like everyone else didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
But that desire just kept growing in me until the point where I just started slowly pursuing what that would look like to start building a service for OTs that helped them connect with research.
Yeah.
And I did that not really knowing what research I would find, because I started with like the system of how I would find the research. I was able to find a health research librarian, and we decided that we would identify the most cited articles from the past 50 years that contained occupational therapy. So I didn't know if those would be like negative towards occupational therapy or in favor of it. I didn't know what topics they would cover. I looked at the journal articles and I think only one was from AJOT. So it was definitely like going outside, it was stepping into the unknown. And we've been through our first 20 journal articles so far, and it has just like completely surpassed my expectations and been really fun. Because I think the trend, just the overall trend that I'm seeing, is that the research is confirming, like, if you are working on function with your patients, you are doing the overarching right thing.
Right.
And we would like to see more therapy, actually. And there's a lot of like technology things that are coming up that I think will enable us to give even more therapy to patients. And then there have just been like little tips or little like ways that you can tweak your practice based on the research, but none of it to me has been things to like overhaul what you're doing as a home health occupational therapist or any occupational therapy practitioner.
Yes. And there's so many layers of what you've said that are both fascinating and inspiring, and remind me of other topics to explore with you. So like, I love that you gave the backstory of how this all really came to be about, because I'm 100% there with you of just being like, is this, you know, like this, like in my heart, this feels like I'm doing the right thing, but I'm wondering, like, is there another level of, you know, like effectiveness that I could be doing, which I also feel like is a double-edged sword from being trained in activity analysis as an OT.
Yes.
Like, we're like always aware that there's another level, right?
Which is
like, again, very much, I feel like a double-edged sword. And it also makes me think of the Eleanor Clark Slagle lecture at this year's conference in New Orleans, where she was talking about like this challenge to OTs of like, you must like pursue confidence and be confident in what you're doing, and do not let perfectionism stop you. I think there's also this fine line of like, well, I need to see the research on it in order to know that this is, you know, the best thing. And that's obviously not entirely possible. And what's been fascinating about accessing and being part of this club is that the research topic itself doesn't need to say home health. I think one that I even got some really specific applications to home health was about, I think it was a pediatric topic. And what I ended up doing based on off of somebody else's feedback of how they were incorporating training caregivers. And it was a specific, I believe, pediatric approach. I don't remember all the details, but
I remember that conversation.
Do you?
Yeah.
So I ended up actually, I was working with a woman who had MS and ended up being like, can I borrow your phone so that, you know, the program that I'm want to teach for stretching, that it be done by your caregivers. And in home health, we're not paid, or it's not a skilled service for me to come out and train new caregivers. So I need to train one caregiver, and like that needs to be passed on. So we incorporated that, and it was just inspiring. You know, there's the little things that like, of course, like we know that we can do these things, but sometimes there's just so much going on, especially in home health, that having these little like reminders and seeing its link to evidence. And it was more, the link to evidence was more incorporating caregivers. Like, so that was really the point, but it's like, how do we do that in ways that we're creating digestible content for the caregiver? It's not just, yes, I told them. It's like, did they really get it?
Yeah. Yep.
So today's episode is sponsored by 8to Great. And this is a company dedicated to really inspiring individuals as well as companies, including schools, but also healthcare and healthcare workers, to have positive, fruitful options for moving forward in life. And this is my own words and my own experience, because when I encountered MK more than 10 years ago, she was one of the first people that really helped it sink in that like, this too shall pass, that a really hard time that I was going through would not
last forever. And she also had a skills and information that really helped me begin turning my life towards a new focus. And that actually is part of why, I mean, she was part of the reason that I ended up having enough hope to like become an occupational therapist. And at the time it was a book called Taking Care of Me. And she's written other books, including Eight to Great, which is also a wonderful book. So you can become a coach. She can come coach your company and just check out her TED Talks. Or if you want to hire a coach or a trainer, check her out. 8 to Great, www.8togreat.com, or you can email info@8togreat, and that's the number 8togreat.com, or again, check out the website. So that's 8togreat.com.
The other thing that has been interesting is the frustration that reading some of these articles has brought up for me.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear about that.
And it's more like, let's talk about the biomarkers. Is it the biomarkers?
Yes,
recent one where I just was like, it wasn't towards you. It was just towards the freaking research where I was like, Sarah Lyon, God damn it. This research makes me want to like throw something.
Yeah.
And I really, like, it was very surprising the like emotional response that I had to the research. Mm-hmm. That I just actually was angry. I felt angry. And I don't know if you want to give like if it would be helpful to give like a quick snippet of what the research was saying before we maybe dialogue a bit on this.
Yeah, I can do a quick. So this research article was about finding biomarkers of motor function and stroke and progress that you're making in rehab. And a biomarker is something that you can actually measure within the body. And that is a trend kind of in all the research or in a lot of the research that we've looked at where in almost every diagnosis area, they're saying we really need biomarkers to know if rehab is working. What can we actually measure within the body to show that rehab is having an impact? Because we know that like subjective assessments aren't fully capturing whether or not rehab is working. So this particular article was about using an EEG to monitor brainwaves. And they found if these two specific parts of the brain were talking more, they were both like motor function parts of the brain. If they were talking more and there was more electrical activity, that those patients correlated to having greater gains in stroke rehab. That I like read that article and I was like, that's so cool. I'm really excited about this technology. Mm-hmm. And definitely the overall response was apprehension about how distracting that could be.
Well, and I, first of all, want to give you mad props on that summary. summary of very, like, high-level research article. And so, yeah, thanks for breaking that. So this is, like, for the listener, case in point of what Sarah does. Like, she takes this amazing, like, language of research and breaks it down. So I'm like, all right, I'm following you. I don't know if I can say the same if I read the article myself. But
that's always my worry about after recording a podcast. I was like, I hope that made sense.
You do an amazing job of that. It's I truly think a gift of yours, and to be doing it with research, which I truly think is like a second language.
Yes,
for some of us, I would say for me,
they do not use good English in research.
I love how you're like, I love how you're like, I did look up multiple words in this research article.
Yes.
So because I'm sure there were many multi-syllable words in a neuroscience
article, yes,
for sure. But what like immediately gives me this like visceral response is when I want to defend against the statement of looking for outcome specific or kind of this guarantee or this evidence of improvement within the body. And as in a home health OT, sometimes I feel like everything that we're doing funnels into the home health experience. Like by the time they're home and things are settling and this is their like this is kind of it. I mean, there's outpatient and then there's like community services, and it's like we're some of the last, I feel like, in traditional Western medicine to be present with these people. And mm-hmm. you know, and I want to be like, is this really like at the end of the day when we're really talking about like whether whether stuff works, is it really about the inside of the body, or is it the fact that they can actually shower now with their spouse because they have dementia? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so part of me is just like, is some of this research also like so distracting and deluding of what OT is really doing out there because the researchers don't know our language? And maybe I'm just like, this is some of my passion and frustration coming through, but like that was what got me, was just like, wait a minute, I feel like the looking glass is at this part that's like not really the end goal. But I also heard you say that like these biomarkers are becoming more and more important, and a part of me is like, will home health ever care about that? Like, will chronic disease, like how will biomarkers ever affect what really happens for the low income levels in home health?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if we have answers, but so this is where,
I have like two kind of, what do I want to say? Ways I've been framing things and thinking about things as I've gotten deeper into this research. And one is a total like shift in thinking that I've had since school. And that has to do with like generalist thinking, like knowing a lot or knowing a little about a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I got done with school and I was like, I do not like being a jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. And that is what OT is. Mm-hmm. I want to be a master of one thing, like, and that's why I got my master's degree. And that, yeah, I just didn't like that. I didn't like that feeling. I wanted to feel like an expert. But as I've experienced OT and also some like other reading that I've done, is when we have complex problems, a generalist is typically better at solving those than someone who's only good at one specific area. And that's something that I've like quickly come to love about the club, is that it kind of continues that generalist thinking and that generalist learning. And I don't know for sure how like EEG and biomarkers is going to help you as a home health, or like how that's going to come into your practice, but I know that I'm happy that you know about it. Like, just as like something to be aware that's out there, because maybe you're going to have that one patient who is really tech savvy. And you'll be able to be like, I've heard about the tracking that you can do with EEG, and our mutual friend Lauren Sheehan has this device coming on the market, and I don't fully understand it, but I know the power behind it. Let me like point you towards that.
And that is a good point. It reminds me of like the liberal arts education.
Yes. You know? Yes. Oh, and I totally went through to a liberal arts college, so I'm like totally sold on that way of thinking too.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the other big thing, or like again going back to like OTs kind of being generalists, like I just, after working, I'm really lucky that I get to work with primarily just occupational therapists, and that's just a huge blessing, because OTs are really nice. They care so much about their patients. They have this holistic generalist picture.
Yeah.
And I want OTs to be leading the conversation about these new technologies that are coming out. I don't want us to be like reacting to stuff. I want us to be like guiding how our healthcare teams are thinking about them, you know? So like, if you think that having biomarkers or like the quest to have more biomarkers is worthless, like I want you to be in, to know that they're coming and have that knowledge and help lead that conversation.
Yeah. And I think that's like you also demonstrating your gift of like this. This, dear listener, is an example of how Sarah proposes very unique, challenging topics. Like these are just like not easy topics. And I feel like
Really complex.
They're very complex. And you create a really like compassionate new space to enter into them, because you're right. Like, I think it's better to have them in a safe community of OTs and kind of, you know, bounce off the wall a bit if I need to, and, you know, have my moment of being like, what the,
yes,
you know, in a safe community and kind of get it together to be like, yes, I've heard of these. And yeah, let's, you're right. Like, why not be positioned to just be on a really like groundbreaking level, literally on the ground with people in the clinics, but also at these integration levels, at a research level. And it still like blows my mind a little bit. I still do wish sometimes we could have like a medium who would call on the founders of OT to
I hadn't thought about that, but I support that idea.
I wonder what they would say. I mean, and I guess part of it is like you're saying of like, it's the power of research. It's like, you don't know what's behind door number, well, any door, because that's mm-hmm. the power of research.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And so what you were saying too, like when I was thinking about the journal club, I always came back to, I was like, it has to have a forum, because I knew that these were topics that we would have to talk about. And that there are OTs with way more expertise in certain areas than I have myself. So I wanted the opportunity for people to chime in. Yeah. And just thinking about how we learn and digest things, like we digest best when we're like really interacting with something. And I think that's what a forum really like pushes you to do. And I deliver the content like both written and over podcast, because I think you have to hear things a couple times to
get it,
to get it, and then like circle back to it when like we just did a journal article on Parkinson's. Like, it's good to hear it, but like for me working in my small town hospital, it might be 2 months until I actually see a new Parkinson's patient. So to have a resource to like go back and reference it right when you need it.
I think that's a great point and very OT of you, you know, to encourage that forum participation. And I, you know, I do appreciate you coming on. And I know part of this podcast is dedicated to helping, especially home health OTs, progress their practice and align their lives. And I want to take this opportunity to also encourage the listener to reach out in the Commune OT AOTA forum, because it's another forum that really is available to process, especially with home health OTs, these topics, you know, that we're talking about. And so, Sarah, will you also talk a little bit about, you know, the listener who's like ready to jump into some of the things that you have available for the home health OT? Will you kind of walk us through how that listener can get in touch and get plugged in with what you've got going?
Yeah, like we've been talking about, we have the OT Potential Club, which is our journal club. And I love having home health OTs in there, because you guys see such a diverse caseload, and you have function on the mind because you're in the middle of it in the home. And I love that reorientation to occupations and to function that home health OTs like Monika bring to us. And you can find out more about the club at otpotential.com.
Awesome. Well, and Sarah, again, thank you so much, not only for just your friendship and also the opportunities of your leadership to help that have supported me in being more creative with what it can mean to be an OT, because you really are, you've been one of the first and continue to be an inspiration to be an OT to its full capacity, which doesn't just mean 8 to 5 in front of a patient. And so, yeah, thank you for that too. So yeah, Sarah's got a lot of options for home health OTs. And if you haven't yet seen the book, Home Health OT Strategies and Insights, that's also available on Sarah's website. And Sarah, I wanted to ask you one last question, unless you had anything else too that I haven't asked you about that would be good for the home health OT to know about.
I just mostly wanted to know when your website's going to get up and going for home health OT. That's where I wanted to direct people.
Oh, man. I know. Well, that's a great question.
Is that in the works?
It is in the works. And okay. It's a matter of time balance for, because I still am a full-time OT in home health and I love doing these podcasts. And so it's like financially finding both the time and the finances and then the space to support it once it's up, because it's like, I really want to be, I really want to build relationships with people. And I fully understand that that takes time. And I'm in this new phase of my life where the theme of it, I feel like you can appreciate this, or like my new mantra is a wellness forward life, where I put my wellness.
What does that mean?
So like wellness first.
Yeah.
Cause I think it's just so easy to be like, everybody else first. How can I take care of everybody else? And like, and to just be like, wait a minute, does like mama have what she needs, you know, to just function? So I'm just learning how to do that. So it's coming. It's much, if I'm honest, it's much slower than I would prefer. But I'm also learning the creative process can be an interesting one and just like unpredictable. So yeah, we may be talking more about this. So yes, what Sarah's talking about is homehealthotexplorer.com, which is slowly in the works, but you can also sign up for newsletters from me that will have links from these podcasts in it if you go to homehealthotexplorer.com.
And I signed up last night.
Thank you. And so this is kind of a new part of my, this new season of podcast is also just kind of imparting, asking like what helps you, because you're also a mother and a wife as well as an OT and an entrepreneur, what helps you put wellness forward in your life, or you know, what helps you with your own life alignment, because I do think you are a grounded and wise woman. So if you don't mind sharing, or you can pass.
Yeah. No, I hear you talking about things going slow and maybe feeling like you wish things were going faster, but I'm just like, slow is the only way I know how to get things done.
Yeah.
Like doing a little bit every day. And that's what's been great about my business. Or what's kept me enjoying it for so long is I never stay up late working on my website. like I just try to do a little bit each day, and that's what's made it sustainable and fun. And I think the same with all wellness goals too. I always have like lots of wellness goals that I want to undertake. But for me, chunking those down and being like, I'm just going to work on this one thing until it's a routine.
Yeah.
Because I can only do like one new thing at a time. So giving myself the space and permission to do that is what makes a big difference for me.
Oh, that sounds like such a dose of compassion.
I probably learned that from you. So.
Oh man.
Basically, I just listen to Monica's voice in my head about being kind to myself a lot.
Well, thanks for helping remind me of that too, because it's also so interesting. Yeah,
I think you've been telling me that for like 10 years too. So
oh, really?
So it's also ongoing advice that I reference.
This is like so fascinating to hear back too. And I guess like, I feel like this could easily be like a 10-hour podcast with you, which I will not take it to that degree, but there's just like so many great things to talk about. And it's always so great to talk to you. And what this does like make me at least bookmark, and I guess for whatever reason, feel like saying out loud for the listener that may relate to this, but I know for me, the last 18 months of my life have been like unprecedented in regards to changes, and also with bringing me to, it's probably relevant to say, to my knees with an understanding and very much an eye contact with grief, and at levels that I didn't know were possible. That's given me a lot of compassion for other people. And so I actually really appreciate your reminder for me to have compassion with myself, because I think in the midst of so much change and even loss, that grief can just do funny things to us. And that I feel like so many OTs who are also working day in and day out, not only with their own grief, but next to other people so closely, that sometimes just hearing these like little messages of wisdom of just like, be gentle and like go slow. Like, is that not perhaps the overall message of nature too? It's just like, pretty sure nothing grows in 30 seconds. And so, yeah. So thanks for just these topics, Sarah. Thanks for making time to be with us today on the podcast. And I look forward to just, creating more and seeing what else kind of rolls out of all these possibilities.
Yeah, it's such an honor to spend time with one of my mentors and friends, and definitely trying to be sensitive to the listeners because I just want to keep talking, but I see that we've reached like normal podcast time.
I love it so much. Well, Sarah, yes, massive thank you, big hug over the phone here to you, a big hello to Nebraska. Until next time.
Yeah, thank you, Monica.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye. This is a short quote from Glennon Doyle in her book called Untamed. The braver I am, the luckier I get.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Home Health Occupational Therapy Explore podcast. If you want to stay updated or get more deeply involved with our why, which is inspiring possibility and nourishment for the home health OT mindset, go to tillandwater.com and sign up for our emails. Sounds silly, but this one step could help inspire a paradigm shift for your practice. And if this message can help someone you know, please share it with them. And until next time, keep stirring your inspiration.